This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Woodman Corner, the West Bromwich Albion podcast that thinks we'd probably be in the Champions League if Darren Moore had a whole season at it. I'm Graham Brown. I'm here today with Joe Chapman.
Hello, Graham.
And Kieran Duda.
Hello, Graham.
Thank you for joining us, ever. It's going to be a belting podcast, as we often think it is. We're going to be talking to British boxing champion Tommy Langford a bit later on. He's famously an Albion fan, got lots of opinions on the club, where we're at now and so on. Kieran's had a good chat with him. How do you find it, Kieran?
It was really good, actually. You forget that he's such a big fan. Yeah. He's just one of us, isn't he, really? I know he's a British champion boxer, but he's just excited to see players at the Legends game as anyone else.
Yeah, because of course, perfect timing, really. You met him at the Legends game for Richard Eads, organised by Baggy Bird, Dave Chandler. But he's got big fight coming up on Friday, hasn't he?
He has on Friday night in Warsaw against another local fan. So
top man,
he can keep the title.
All right, well, let's first get into again. As Darren Moore's here, we haven't got to hide away from actual football now. So let's talk about the Newcastle game. Joe, what were your learnings from the game?
They keep stringing us along, don't they? every week I've had Kieran saying, right, this is the week, we're going to have to accept it, that we're going down. And they just keep getting results now. And even results elsewhere are going for us as well. So just don't keep dropping points. I know they picked one up perhaps unexpectedly on the weekend, but against Burnley I fully expected them to win and they dropped points. And then Swansea, of course, got beat.
You're not actually talking about the prospect of Albion staying up at this point.
No, I'm still. I've got a few Spurs fans who seem to think that we're going to do them next week as well. So the way it's going, it's just one of those. You almost kind of part of your wishes it would just happen. You know, it was almost like, can we just take defeat here and then start preparing for next season?
I keep talking about this as a subject. Is he doing the right thing for a club that is going to be get relegated? Is he doing the right thing? Blah blah blah. I mean, we've seen improvements in a few players. I must say, we've seen improvements we've probably seen the best games Craig Dawson's ever had as a centre half under Darren Moore. We've seen the best games that Jake Livermore's ever had as an Albion player under Darren Moore.
Yes. And Matt Phillips played. He was one of the standout players against Liverpool. Matt Phillips.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about that? We talked about this last week, but what do you think? Is Moore doing us a service for next season? Do you think?
Yeah, Darren Moore's now the favourite for the job. He's with the bookies, at least. You know that you kind of read into that what you will, I suppose. But he's obviously adored by the fans, adored by the players. He's got a response out of them. You know, that's plain for all to see. I suppose the one thing you could say is that we're going down with a bit of a fight now. So if and when the inevitable happens. You can point to it and say, well, at least we've got something to cling on to for next season.
I'm well chuffed, actually. One of the things I like about the team that he's putting out at the moment, you see the 11 at the start, I don't know if you agree, you think, that's very good. But then I actually like the fact that our comeback has come without Chadley, without Barry, without Sturridge, without Evans.
Kukowiak, he's still on the bench.
All these kind of peripheral, well-paid players are going to leave anyway. They're not there. I mean, what do you think, Ian? Would you change anything about anything Darren Moore's doing right now?
No, I think I know it's standing us in good stead for next season, but I think he's doing it on merit. Like, he's a player that played in a team under Gary Megson. They weren't big time Charlies, they were just hard working players, and I think that's what he's choosing to try and repeat the Great Escape, which I don't know, it kind of looks more
we're probably going to ask this question every week now. Would Darren Moore be your next full time Albion manager?
It's the same as last week. I want, obviously he's a great coach, and it depends on who he'd bring in alongside him. I think I just coaching to one side, which is obviously important, I do think there's going to be a lot of work to do behind the scenes this summer, and I'm not sure Darren Moore's, you know, experienced enough, has the connections to guide us through that,
yeah,
which is the only downside. Football just football in general, definitely be my first choice.
Yeah, I think everyone wants to be involved. What do you think? Would it be yours?
I don't want to be the villain of the piece here, but I don't know, as wonderful a man as a coach as he is, and he's certainly going to have a role to play next season regardless. Would you, I suppose, give Darren the licence to go and oversee a squad turnover of 25, 28 players?
Yeah.
Which is what it's going to be. It would certainly test kind of his knowledge of the market and the business side of things, and there's other things as well. There's other futures. Jimmy Shan, if you appoint Darren Moore, you're going to need backroom staff. Jimmy Shan's there at the moment. Does that mean that we need an under-23s coach to come in, appoint someone else?
I think that's an interesting point that kind of picks at a flaw of the whole keeping Darren Moore on theory. So I don't think you'd find anyone that would say, yeah, keep him on, and keep all those same people, keep Jimmy Shan and Neil Cutler as players. Don't bring in anyone that's got experience and blah, blah, blah. And actually what you do is start to water it down. You say, all right, we'll keep Darren Moore in, but put in a director of football that makes all the decisions, and bring in a 6-year-old support act with him, blah, 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 that can make all those decisions. Whereas actually you kind of lose the emphasis, the umph of what it is. I probably think we've all come to the same conclusion, which is it'd be brilliant if he was involved and really involved. But probably for the huge turnover of players we'd like to see, it might be better to be another person.
Of course, we've still got to wait and see exactly the kind of role and the extent of the influence that Giuliano Terenio has. It's obviously a 6-month deal at the moment, so he'll oversee, I suppose, the transfer window, the length of that.
I'd throw it's a strange timing though, 6 months, considering it's such a big turnover that summer.
I think the whole thing, I mean, if you wanted to, I keep saying this, if you wanted to draw a plan of how to best implode a football club, it would be to sack everyone from the top downwards,
it's
get
a
relegated,
radical,
all your players leave, you've got to recruit a load more players.
It sounds like Sunderland actually.
It does. As it happens, Darren Moore is really papering over the cracks at the moment, but I mean, you wouldn't do any of these things, really. You wouldn't absolutely explode kind of consistently. And that's, I made this point last week, so I won't go on and on, but I think one of the interesting arguments for Darren Moore, and I think there's two. Firstly, it's that there's not any great managers in opposition for him at the moment, but moreover, that if it became about keeping some of your better players, and I think potentially it is, for instance, if you could keep Rodriguez and Rondon, he might be the person to deliver that. They all want to play for him. That's absolutely clear. I'm sure that came across the players you spoke to on the weekend.
Yeah, definitely.
It's an argument for him.
It's imperative that if the decision has to be made ASAP, though. I mean, it can't be something that happens when you've already got two or three players through the door.
Yeah.
In July or whatever, this needs to go, you know, end of May, start of June. Where
I remember there's a World Cup as well. Isn't
it? There's a World Cup as well. So you exactly.
Again, if you're drawing that plan, that plan of how to screw up, you'd write that in and all.
Yeah. And the fact that the transfer window has been brought forward to the start of August this season.
Exactly.
So everything about it, you're going to have like a 6 to 8 week period. Where it's going to be absolutely mad. But they've got to make a decision ASAP.
So next we're going to move on to James McLean. Now I'm about to show you my primary school reading, but I thought I'd go through what James McLean is reported to have said, and let's see what we all each think of it. So James McLean admitted everyone wants to play, I'm quoting now, everyone wants to play Premier League football, so do I. No, see, I've already done this. Everyone wants to play Premier League football, so I do think there will obviously be a lot of people looking at their next move or their future come the summer if we do go down. The fans just see it as if you go down, players leave and you're a snake, or you've taken the club for a ride and this and that. But we've got families as well, and we need to look after them. We've also got a career to look after as well. We want to be the best we can be. You have to look after yourself first and foremost. So, I mean, I don't think it's unreasonable to say, I take that as James McLean defending the idea that that our players, who, as I'll throw in, are the 8th best played squad in the Premier League, are 20th. They are being relegated. He thinks he has a right, and it's only fair that he's able to move on. What do we think? Let me not put any more in those. Go on, Kieran. You go first.
Okay, there's a few layers to this, really. I am going to back him up, because firstly, I don't think he's on about himself personally. I just think it's the general consensus amongst the squad.
Yeah.
And he's the only one that's going to come out and say it.
Yeah.
You can never knock him, because he always keeps the fans, you know, he never keeps the fans in the dark. We always know what's going on. The other issue is, in terms of the players this season, the main bug that fans have had is the effort. Because obviously it's shown the last few games and it wasn't there the first 34.
Yeah.
You can never really knock McLean for that. So it's not as if he hasn't tried. So you have to back him up. Will he go? to a Premier League club. I can't see it. He hasn't got the quality.
We were talking about this earlier on. Maybe Burnley, if Derby go up. He might go to Celtic.
I think that's what he's looking for. That's exactly where he'd go. And then there's obviously the looking after your family. I've seen a few fan groups saying if you can't look after your family on 20 grand a week. I think what you got to remember...
And let me tell you, he earns more than 20 grand a week.
Well, yeah, after the 50% pay cut.
Yes.
What you got to remember, though, is they didn't ask to earn this money. They've got a short career as it is. They've got to earn the money within 15 years, so... He doesn't have the same lifestyle as your average West Brom fan. We're a working class fan base.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to try and keep that standard of living for his family after. And it's a job. Albion isn't in his heart like it is with us. So,
isn't that the crux? Do you know what? I absolutely agree. I like players who have their say. In fact, I've had a row about it this morning with someone. For me, fans who complain about what players say are turkeys voting for Christmas, because they're the reason why most players put their headphones on and get out. And like you said, James McLean is one of the few people who aren't.
Yeah.
But you're right, he has a standard of living that other Albion fans couldn't dream of. Isn't that a reason not to rub it in their faces?
I don't think he's rubbing it in the faces. I just don't think he thinks about what he's saying a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're in a generation now of all these media training puppets as footballers.
Yeah.
It's refreshing to hear someone just... He speaks like a bloke you talk to down the pub, doesn't he?
Do you know...
Say if he was offered a 50% pay cut at work.
No, I'd completely agree. It's actually because... I get the sense of judgment. It's precisely because he feels he has nothing to hide that he's prepared. And I think that's...
He hasn't. He's one of the few players that hasn't.
Yeah, you know? I'd take that point. Joe, you must disagree. Surely, you're an Albion fan. Spitting in your face.
For the sake of this argument, I actually think that McLean, generally speaking, has a pretty good relationship with the Albion fan base.
Yeah,
a lot of fans would you know, you'll see, tend to stick up. There's obviously a fair 20, share that won't.
I can show you 20 tweets from this morning that would suggest he doesn't.
Well, I think prior to these comments, it's a different industry to any other industry, isn't it? In terms of the money you're on and the work and. People say, well, hold on, if I got relegated or if I did the equivalent and wasn't achieving as much as I should do at work, then I'd be sacked, etc., etc. But if you're going to get a pay cut of 50% is, despite the money that they're on, 50% is still quite a vast amount. I suppose you're within your rights to kind of try and increase that elsewhere.
Yeah.
As Kieran said, he hasn't got any links. He's not the Darren Moore, is he, in terms of being rooted in the club's what it means and the fabric of it. Whether there's a Premier League club waiting to come and sign him and what he would go for and all the rest of it, because he signed a new deal, I think, this year or last season. So, you know, he's still got another year or two on the contract.
Yeah, we're in danger of all agreeing with this. But what I would say is actually to come back to a point I made earlier about what they earn. It's all well and good an Albion player, I'm not talking about James McLean, but an Albion player in general, saying, well, you know, we've got a short career and blah, 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 blah. They're overpaid. All of them are overpaid. James McLean, I would guess, is overpaid. Hal Robson-Kano is almost certainly overpaid. All of them are overpaid. Their market value probably is closer to half what they earn, which is what they're all going to earn next season. So I think it'd be interesting to see whether or not they can actually live this out. But just to say, I probably would defend James as well, because I haven't got a lot of time for the notion of... loyalty. I don't really agree with it. I think that's something that fans ascribe to players rather than the other way around. I remember having this conversation about Odin Wingie and blah blah blah. They are career footballers. They don't they want the team to win when they're there, but they are guns for hire. And just the same way as, you know, if we recruit someone from the Express and Star, we don't expect them to, you know, to endlessly wish them well and hope we finish second in the league. Not that we ever would. It's the same thing with players. So now I think we're probably all slightly of one with this, really, which is that good on James McLean for actually answering a question. And, you know, fair play to Albion fans if they get annoyed, but fundamentally, he's probably right.
But there are players, in terms of loyalty, I mean, I totally get the idea of fans subscribing that to the players and not the reverse. But you have heard that Chris Brunt and Ben Foster have since come out and said, we'll be here regardless.
Yeah, but...
And maybe they have become that kind of level of...
So that it's a different situation in terms of, obviously, Brunt's been here for 11 years.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong, they're both good 5, 6, 7 years old.
And Foster famously doesn't want to leave the Midlands.
Yeah.
The other, they are also, this isn't to criticise them, I mean, I think Albion are one of these rare clubs, you know, throw James Morris in there as well, that actually have long-term players, and they have some affinity with the club, but actually, as it happens at this absolute point, practically all of those long-term players, maybe not Ben Foster, but practically all of them are overpaid their market rate. And I almost think it's possible that they're overpaid the market rate by two, that a lot of these players that get relegated will still find they're paid too much for the likes of, you know, who's ever going to be interested in Huddersfield and blah blah blah, to actually pick them up because they earn so much money at the Albion. Like I said, we'll kind of find that out, but I mean that, I think that's the thing that James McLean is probably potentially missing, is that they earn a lot of money and they haven't got a divine right to it, so we'll sort of find out.
Well, like, yeah it goes for a lot of players outgoing at, you know, for example, Johnny Evans. It's all well and good pointing to the price tag and the release clause and how minuscule it is in the modern day, you know, kind of if you're comparing it to clubs elsewhere and what they'll pay, but then to take into account that the money he's on and he's probably not going to want to shift from that. You know, he's not going to want to take a major pay cut from that anyway.
I think that's the point, really. It's market value, isn't it? You've got James McLean saying this, I'd argue James McLean, it's a Championship player on Premier League money, so it's an interesting player to be. Johnny Evans is a Premier League player. He's worth the 100 grand a week we pay him, and someone else will pay it, and the market will prove that.
That's what
McLean,
I'm saying.
No, he's not necessarily in that
area. Newcastle, season, has it? But that's what I mean.
But the market will pay
him. Will Newcastle or a West Ham or an Everton pay Johnny Evans 100 grand a week?
Yeah. Gotcha. Probably no question. They'll queue up to pay
him. Sure. I'm not sure. Newcastle.
We'll see what we've
got. Position we're in is from lack of effort more than lack of talent.
Yeah.
The fact that he's on 100 grand a week and people are going to pay it is fair enough. McLean's going to get stick for saying he might jump ship, but it's not. If we're going to say that the reason we're down there is because it was a lack of effort for the first 34 games, McLean's the very last person on that list you could blame.
Yeah.
So I think it's a different scenario for him than it is for the likes of Johnny Evans, Krakowiak.
Yeah.
Wherever they go, they're going to be able to pay. They're going to be able to maintain the lifestyle. James McLean wouldn't be because of the talent he has.
I'd absolutely agree. And as someone who hosts an Albion podcast, we never have current Albion players on because we don't feel like they answer their questions. The one, if I had to have one Albion player sat opposite me on this podcast, it'd be James McLean because he'd answer, ask him a question, he'd answer it. So that's kind of to his credit. Okay, so we're going to move on now to Kieran's interview with Tommy Langford, who was at the Richard Eades match to raise money for the former Albi on the weekend.
Well, Tommy, just start with, obviously, an Albion fan. What made you fall in love with the club to start with?
Born into it, mate. I mean, to be fair, the first game I come to, we got, I think it was 5-1 or 5-2, we got beat by Crewe. So, but then, you know, that was that. My dad's an Albion fan, his dad's an Albion fan, brother's Albion fans, cousin's Albion fans, so there's only one way to go. So, but can't be happier being born into a West Brom family.
Obviously, you've done well in the boxing, but when you were a kid, was it a dream to play for the Albion? Was that first and foremost?
To be fair, it was a dream to play football, wasn't it? Every kid's dream was a dream to play football and, you know, be a pro and all that. Like, and I weren't a bad footballer myself, if I'm being big-headed, but I weren't bad, like, and but could never stomach the attitude of other players. But then discovered boxing. I actually went into boxing because I wanted to be a bit stronger for football, and then started at 11 boxing, and then just fell in love with it and then took over from there.
What is it that's so great about this club? Obviously it's like a big family, isn't it, really? I've had
just
to
it's a community, like it's the Albion community, isn't it? Like everybody supports everybody else, and like you go to the games and you're all mates, and you know, I'm a fan, same as everybody else, and I go and sit in the stands, season to get older, you go through the pains of other fans. But the players are really great. Look, the players turn out for things that are to do with fans, and it, you know, everyone supports one another. And I think even though we've been a Premiership club for, I mean, we might not be in next season, but even though we have been for like the past 8 years and whatever, we've kept the community feel from the lower leagues, and I think it's like it's really nice to everybody.
And obviously, Big Dave's done well, hasn't he, since he came? What are your thoughts on him?
Done great. You're absolutely brilliant. But you know what? Can you? He's done such a job that if he don't stay on, then there's going to be a bit of uproar about that. Like how can you tell somebody who's, you know, done Mourinho and, you know, your man as well for Newcastle, and then not lost. He's undefeated. How can you bin him after that? Really, and he's an Albie. He's Albion through and through. Passionate, got everything that we require as a manager at the moment. And so, will he stay on? But I don't know. But I kind of want to see him stay on. You know what I mean?
Why do you think he's been so successful? Is it because he knows the club? He knows the family.
Demands respect from the players. demands it. There's no question about it. They have to give him it, because he's been there and done it himself. He's played, and you know, he's been promoted, and he's been involved in relegation battles and the rest of it. And he's, you know, so he commands that respect, and he's very passionate, obviously, about West Brom. He's West Brom through and through. He's all about the badge rather than the player. And I think that shows in the performances he's had since he's taken over. And I think, you know, I mean, it's is the miracle still alive in it? The miracle escape is still alive. Can we do it? You know, but if we can, it's all down to him, really. So, done phenomenal.
And obviously, as a fan, what's your favourite moment as an Albion fan? What's your favourite game you've been to? Story of the way they were.
Do you know what? Like, probably was it Wolves we done at home 3-0, 3-1?
Yeah,
that game. I just seem to that when I was that's one of my games when Gear were playing. Yeah. You know, that I mean he's my favourite player. What I've watched live is Gear for the Albion. I mean, obviously there's great players there now. Probably you'd say higher calibre players, or you know, and. And things where people score more impressive goals and whatever, but I just love watching him play. I think he was fantastic and so. But that game sticks in my memory. I remember sitting in Bromley Road, you know, and just going mental. Like, it was just absolutely nuts, and giving him a good thrashing is always nice.
What's a low point? It's got to be a low point. That was a few, isn't it, really?
This season there's been a few low points in themselves, and they're, you know, I mean, what was it? This season being 2-0 ahead against Southampton and Newcastle and losing, or like, it's just killer, like, just kitchen and balls, man. And as a player, and I think the low points for me is not losing. I ain't like, I obviously no one wants to lose, but it ain't losing. It's watching and supporting a team where there has been, when there's a lack of passion, and that's been evident a few, not every game, but a few games this year. And it's the purest football. I think if I could take an era out of my life of, you know, even though we survived and all the rest of it, and you know, we kept us up, I actually got our best finish in the Prem. It was possibly one of the worst seasons of football I've watched, you know, and I'm not alone in saying that. I didn't like watching it, so yeah, they're pretty low, really.
Where do you think Pulis, Pardew went after that? I did some of his time.
I think he just come on a vacation, didn't he? Like, I don't think he was even there. There was no evidence that there has been any change, there was any idea, any different sort of attitude, game plan, ideas, tactics, anything in the games. As a fan, you're thinking, as a fan watching, you're thinking, what the players even think they're doing, what they think they're doing. And I don't think they knew. And that's the fault is Pardew. I don't think he delivered anything for him. And so, yeah, I just think he never turned up. Never turned up, and never was part of the club. Never was part, you know, I think he was looking for the door for the day coming, to be honest.
And obviously, the greatest escape, it would be the greatest of escapes.
It'll be the greatest.
But obviously, if it doesn't work out, which everyone seems to think it will. Yeah. How does next season go? Do you think they could come straight back up? Or
yeah, I think the most important thing is what's happening at the moment. We're finishing with a bit of enthusiasm and a bit of pride and passion. You know, we're finishing with a bit of a bit of an edge and a bit of progress towards the, albeit the end of the season and potentially a season that's already, you know, a catastrophe. But if we're finishing on a high and we're going into the off season on a high, that's exactly what is needed to rebuild a club and in the downtime in the off season. And I think we need a revamping from top to bottom, really. Whether that means keeping certain people and keeping certain players and letting certain ones go and all the rest of it, but I think a rejuvenation on the back of a good finish to this season is 100% 100% what's needed. And I think if that happens, we'll come back up. And you know, the worry was when we'd only won 3 games in a year, and it was looking like we were never going to win another one. You were thinking, God, if this season goes downhill even more from here, you know, where if we go down, there's potential to drop again, because there's no going to be no willingness of players to stay, no fan motivate. You know, it's a hard, that's a hard slug, but going down with a bit of passion and having a bit played means a bit of boost for the coming season, be it in the Championship or be it wherever, and that's vital to starting on a hot foot next season.
So thanks to Tommy Langford and Kieran for that. Thanks to everyone who turned out to Richard Eade's event. It was incredible. All organised by friend of Woodburn Corner, Dave Challoner. So what a fantastic example of what a family this club really is. Thanks as always for joining us on Woodburn Corner. We've got some brilliant guests coming up. Actually, some recent Albion legends who are going to come up in the next few weeks. So tell your friends all about it. Get them to subscribe. And we'll see you again next week.